First today, truck drivers, the very long hours they work, and the dangers that fatigued drivers pose on the nation's highways. The truck that rear-ended comedian Tracy Morgan's limo has propelled this issue back into the news. So has Congress, which is considering a relaxation of rules that now govern truck drivers. And we're about to find out why. With us are Todd Spencer. He's Executive Vice President for the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association. Todd, nice to have you. Good morning.
Glad to be part of the show.
Jeff Burns is also here. He's an attorney at Dollar, Burns, and Becker Trial Attorneys of Kansas City, and he's regarded as a leading expert in truck crash litigation. Jeff, nice to have you. Good morning.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Also with us is Dr. Damian Stevens. He's with the University of Kansas Hospital, and he's a board-certified sleep medicine expert. Dr. Stevens, nice to have you, too. Good morning.
It's nice to be here also. Thanks for inviting me.
Well, Todd, let me begin with you. The Senate Appropriations Committee voted 21-9 last month to rescind rules that require truck drivers to take breaks between 1 and 5 a.m. on consecutive mornings before they can work again. Good idea or not? Todd, what do you think?
Actually, we think that was a great idea in that it allows, one, drivers to have more flexibility to choose the times that it makes the most sense for them to drive. It addresses the issue of where being off between 1 and 5 might seem like it makes a whole lot of sense, except if you happen to be 3 hours from where you need to be at, say, 7 o'clock in the morning, and it makes sense for that driver to drive ahead of rush hour traffic, ahead of probably what would be the most congested times in virtually any urban area in the country. The kind of the arbitrariness of this 1 to 5 sort of ignores the reality for lots and lots and lots of people. I mean, we have a whole group of people in the country in trucking, but certainly in other occupations, that actually work night shifts.
Right.
And they become accustomed to sleeping during certain times. And so the regulation act, this the rigidity of this regulation actually screws the sleep cycles up.
Right.
For a whole great many people, including truck drivers.
Let me get Jeff Burns into our conversation. Jeff, you just heard Todd Spencer call this a great idea. Is it?
Changing or limiting the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration's ability to tell drivers how they can drive is a bad idea. The Appropriations Committee has no expertise in trucking or truck driving. That's a favorite mechanism of the industry to, rather than go into the Commerce Committee or the Transportation and Infrastructure Committee, they go into the Appropriations Committee and make some claims and get something passed with their favorite politicians.
It's not a great idea. Why, Jeff?
It's not a great idea because you have to understand what the 34-hour restart is. The only reason for the existence of the 34-hour restart is to allow a driver to work more than 70 hours in his work week.
Explain what the 34-hour restart is, because most of our listeners aren't going to get what that's about.
A truck driver can work 70 hours in 8 days.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a combination of loading, unloading, and driving. But he can work for 70 hours, which is, we think, is plenty. That's a lot. Not many people work 70 hours in 8 days.
Yeah.
And they don't get any overtime. But if they get up to their 70 hours before 8 days, they have to take time off. And what the restart allows them to do is to, instead of taking the time they would normally have to take off so that their 8 day period would free up from the first day falling off,
mm-hmm,
of the 8 days, they can take off a day and a half,
mm-hmm,
instead of maybe 2 or 3 days,
yeah,
that they would have to do under the old rule.
You know, Todd, I'm confused about something. Why is the Senate even considering rules to ease the restrictions here in the wake of this, you know, very prominent accident involving comedian Tracy Morgan and in wake of statistics out that now show that truck accidents are on the rise, Todd, not on the wane? What about that?
Well, one, there's a couple of things to keep in mind, and that the Tracy Morgan crash actually brings up some things that really do need to not only be mentioned, discussed, but actually taken to heart and analyzed. That the Tracy Morgan crash involved a driver that was in compliance with the hours of service regulation. He wasn't over the existing hours of service regulations. The 34-hour restart had no played no role in this whatsoever. But the rigidity of the regulations, he only had a little bit of time left to get where he needed to be to keep from being in violation. Does that play a role in pushing drivers to drive farther or when they might ought to want to take a break? Where that stretch of road was, would there have been any place for this driver to stop
but
if
Todd,
he did need to take a break for anything? And something else, too, that's critical. This Walmart truck had every piece of supposed safety technology that's available on it, onboard recorders, black boxes, it had speed limiters, it had crash avoidance stuff. None of this stuff actually works in the real world.
But there's no question, yet, Todd, that the number of accidents involving truck drivers is on the rise, right?
Well, the numbers in the past 3 years have edged upward. Some numbers are going to be cyclical. Some are going to be related to economic issues going into the country. But what this issue begs is not necessarily more regulations, but look at the regulations we have to see if they actually have any meaningful positive impact in highway safety. Part of the reason the Appropriations Committee acted is because they have concerns that the arbitrariness of this 1 to 5 a.m. period is actually going to make highways less safe. It forces more trucks on the road when the roads are more congested.
Let me go Todd, hang on a minute. Let me go back to Jeff Burns for a moment. There's no question here, and I want to bring in Dr. Damian Stevens here in just a second to talk about sleep and what we need to operate at a safe level. But there's no question here, Jeff, if I understand right, that the government has stepped in because this industry for a while was so loose that there were lots of problems, lots of accidents. Something had to be done. That was the thinking, at least, of government regulators, right?
Well, that's true. The regulations, hours of service regulations, have been in place really since 1938, and because there always is a pressure, economic pressure, on drivers to drive more. Most drivers are paid by the mile. The drivers, if they have to wait for 4 hours at a loading dock, they have to make up for that time and make money. Drivers are trying to put food on their table. They're good people,
to all this is paying drivers by the hour. That would solve some problems.
I believe that's true. I believe that the method of pay, if drivers were paid for all the time they worked, they would feel much less pressure to get there to drive more miles in less time.
Todd, why don't you pay them by the hour? I know it's not your decision, but why not go that way?
No. I tell you what, we've advocated paying by the hour for a long time now. I mean, we have. That truckers are among the only people in America that are exempt from the overtime provisions of the Fair Labor Standards Act.
They don't get paid overtime.
I mean, that should change.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That should change. These are the kinds of, again, what I said a while ago, we have all of these regulations. In so many instances, the regulations actually have unintended bad consequences, and we're not even looking at the real issues. And and that's where lawmakers ought to be focused. Again, the vote on the Appropriations Committee was a vote based on concerns that the rigidity of this regulation would actually compromise safety.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a partisan vote. It was 21-9, and these are people that actually are familiar with transportation.
All right, Todd. Jeff, hop in here.
The FMCSA, the regulatory agency, has an overall scheme for motor carriers to address the fatigue issue.
Mm-hmm.
By pulling out one or two of these issues, and maybe the sleep doctor could address this, you have to have a fatigue management program where all these issues are addressed at the same time. You can't pull one out and say, this piece doesn't work by itself.
Mm-hmm.
And Todd mentioned that the Tracy Morgan crash was within the hours of service. He was still in violation of the federal regulations because a driver is not allowed to drive when he's too fatigued to drive safely. Mm-hmm. And a motor carrier is not allowed to permit a driver to drive when he's too fatigued to drive safely. So that means they have to have a fatigue management system in place that follows all of these regulations so that all of our drivers are more alert while they're driving.
Let's talk about fatigue management. I want to bring Dr. Damian Stevens into our conversation from the KU Hospital. We're talking this morning about truck driver safety with some very good guests here. Dr. Stevens, knowing that it can vary from individual to individual on average, I mean, how much sleep does the body need in a 24-hour period? How do you answer some of these basic questions?
It sure sounds like a very basic question. It is, but it's a very complicated question to answer, and I have patients ask me that every week in clinic. And the best I can tell them is you need enough sleep that you can function safely during the day. I have patients that come in, and they're upset, they're anxious, because they're never able to sleep more than 6.5-7 hours a night, and they hear in the news that they get less than 8 hours. But at the same time, I've had patients that are 60, 70 years old, and they've never slept more than 6 hours a night their entire life. So That's the problem. Like everything in biology, there's this bell curve where some people are on the shorter end, and other people may need 9 hours to be fully refreshed, alert, functional. So I just tell patients And the vast majority of patients will know on their own, like, if they're safe or not safe.
So what's affected when the need for, you know, adequate and proper sleep isn't met? How are the brain and the body impacted, doctor?
There's several different measures we look at. There's alertness tests is one thing. We talk about a psychomotor vigilance test, which simply a light that comes on a screen and you have to respond in a certain amount of time. We do maintenance of wakefulness tests where we actually have a patient try to stay awake while they're attached to EEG monitoring and measure how long they're able to maintain alertness. So there's several different ways. The problem with all these scenarios, to some degree, they're kind of a false situation, you know, and we have patients that sometimes will look very dangerous based on this, or they'll look safe when they look at some of these tests, yet they've had, you know, two accidents in the last 6 months, and the next patient is this opposite. They look like they're, you know, unsafe, and they've been driving a truck or doing some other activity for 20 years and has never had an issue, so there's some other factor in these people. When they're either on the road or doing some other activity, they're able to rise to that occasion. So for us to try to guess in a medical scenario, you know, that they are safe or unsafe is actually fairly difficult for us also.
Well, given the variability here from individual to individual, from a 10,000-foot macro view here, doctor, does it make sense that the government would try to regulate, you know, from very general standpoints, how many hours a week a truck driver drives a truck?
Yes, I think it makes sense on some level, and I have to say I probably kind of land somewhere between your two guests, because common sense tells you, first of all, if there's a sleep disorder, and that's one of the things we've really not done very well in the years past, if there's at least a treatable sleep disorder, typically sleep apnea, but there can be other things also, let's focus on that, screen for that, diagnose that, treat that, so then at least there's one variable we can try to best of our ability, manage. Now, obviously, there's still things outside of our control. If the individual decides just to not sleep that night, or they had something else and they knew they had to make an early morning run, we can't manage those, you know, minutiae, but at least there's certain rough guidelines I think we can try to follow. The problem is we face this within the medical community. We know when you're doing your internship, your residency, during your training, we knew that there was a lot of fatigue and we thought medical errors were being made, so we instituted a lot of rules. And sure enough, we were able to increase the sleep time, but then studies more recently, last year or two, have shown even though we're trying to increase the sleep time, lo and behold, many don't take advantage and use that time to sleep.
Yeah. This notion, again, speaking about this, doctor, from a 10,000-foot vantage point, this notion that truck drivers work 70 hours over an 8-day period, that's supposed to be the maximum. Is that, you know, is that a reasonable situation, or just on its face, is that just asking for trouble to expect someone to do a job like driving a truck that many hours over an 8-day period?
I think many individuals can do that. You know, can every individual safely do that? Not necessarily. Yeah. Maybe it's a stage thing. Maybe when you're first driving and you limit the hours a little bit more when someone, that's what we've come to in medicine. When someone first starts their training, they're supervised closer, they're limited a little bit more. once it seems like they are able to perform at that level, then maybe it's a graded system, but mm-hmm. then you make it a very complicated process to do that. And when we see any given patient that's a driver, the best predictor of someone that's at risk of having a wreck from here forward is the fact whether they've had them before, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, Jeff, let me come back to you. I'm talking with Jeff Burns, an attorney at Dollar, Burns & Becker Trial Attorneys, who specializes in all this. We talked a little bit before about truck accidents being on the rise from 2009 to 2012. What's causing that? What are studies showing about what's behind that increase?
Well, probably the biggest increase that I'm aware of have been in construction zone crashes. And from my perspective, construction zone crashes highlight fatigue crashes.
Because
in a construction zone on a highway, vehicles are stopped where they are usually going. And many drivers, it's really frightening. 1 in 5 truck drivers admit to falling asleep at the wheel in the prior 30 days.
And 1 in 5 truck drivers, 20% admit to having fallen asleep
at the wheel in the past 30 days.
Wow.
And nearly half admit to having fallen asleep at the wheel within the past year. So it's a huge problem. But most of those aren't involved in crashes, because when you feel your chin drop and you wake up and you, oh gosh, thank goodness.
Yeah.
Nothing happened because there was nothing in front of them stopped. In a construction zone, we have lots and lots and lots of truck crashes where trucks plow into the back of stopped or slowing traffic.
Yeah.
Those are probably the worst crashes that happen on the highway.
Todd, I want to get your response to that. I also want to get our listeners involved here. If you want to join our conversation, give us a shout. 816-235-2888 is our number. Again, 816-235-2888. Todd Spencer, again, Executive Vice President for the Owner Operator Independent Drivers Association. Do you buy what Jeff just said about accidents are increasing?
Well, you know, bear in mind what Jeff does for a living is sue trucking companies, and that's a very, very lucrative business. But having said that, I should point out that in the Tracy Morgan crash, Jeff drew the conclusion, and Steve, I think you embraced it, that fatigue was a factor. We don't know that. NTSB is looking at all of the issues, and we hope they really will look at the broad picture. The onboard recorders and things like that are in big trucks, the big carriers want them as a mandate for everybody. And one of the things that they liked most about them was it allowed them to increase productivity, basically maximize drivers' time. They can actually use that to push drivers, and they in fact do.
Mm-hmm.
The history hours of service regulations going back to the 30s, they were put in place not for safety, but to keep trucking companies from pushing drivers to drive even more.
Mm-hmm.
Economics play a big role in all of these things. They play, you know, and how drivers are paid and what they're not paid for, and generally they get nothing for their time, so nobody values it. But sleep, fatigue, you can nod off, you can get drowsy at any time, no matter what you do for a living. The key is recognizing when that's likely to happen, and certainly the vast majority of truck drivers are very adept at doing that. And you mentioned safety basically going to heck in a handbasket. Actually, truck safety, truck fatalities had fallen 22% from going back to 2003. So no, truck safety isn't going to heck. What we do need to put a greater focus on, and this should stun anybody and everybody listening, but to drive a commercial truck, to get a license to drive a big truck in America, there's simply no training requirements at all. None whatsoever. We talk about a safety gaffe, a safety loophole, and, you know, it's been that way. It's been that way forever. There used to be a sign not 2 miles from our office here in Grain Valley, a billboard that said, get your CDL in one day. Most of the crashes that are going to take place that involve a big truck, one, generally the truck driver didn't do anything wrong, but in instances where truck drivers do mess up, it's oftentimes a brand new driver that has had no training and virtually no on the road experience. And this obviously is acceptable for certainly to most everybody in America, and it's stunning.
Todd, hang on a second. Jeff Burns, how can there be no training?
The barriers to entry to become a truck driver or a trucking company are nil. All you have to do to become a trucking company is have a truck and have an insurance policy, a very small insurance policy. The current minimums are only $750,000 of coverage, and you can be a trucking company.
Yeah, yeah. Dr. Stevens, I want to come back to you. Is all this a matter of, you know, getting enough hours of sleep, or do we have to consider the quality of the sleep that drivers are getting?
You know, obviously, the quality is relevant also, and that's kind of what I alluded to earlier.
Yes.
There's at least some other coexisting sleep disorder. There's sleep apnea disrupting their sleep. There's some other reason they're not able to maintain sleep. And that's the part that at least we would theoretically have some control over, diagnosing, treating that, documenting compliance with that treatment, seeing them back again. So that's the variable we can at least make an impact in.
And Dr. Stevens, you know, are there steps a trucker, or for that matter, anyone working, can follow to stave off fatigue? I mean, energy drinks? I mean, is there some sort of a foolproof way to make sure that you stay awake and stay alert, or not really?
There's no real foolproof method. Like the earlier guest said, you know, many of us learn, you know, because the truck driver obviously doesn't want to hurt themselves in a wreck either. So sometimes people are a bit more aware. Some individuals are very aware of the fact they're sleepy. Others just seem to be oblivious to it and keep driving on down the road. But unfortunately, there's no foolproof. We, you know, use caffeine, the energy drinks. There's very little research that says that it's a very effective in the vast majority of circumstances.
And let me just pick up on something you said. Drivers don't want to hurt themselves or other people, mm-hmm. but more truck drivers are killed on the road than on the job than any other occupation. Between 600 and 800 truck drivers are killed every year on the job. You know, there are tragedies in every industry. But if you had 600 miners trapped a year, or if you had 600 pilots
yeah.
being killed, something would be done.
Jeff, just a final point. The way that truck drivers monitor their time, that's changed dramatically. I had a buddy once who kept track of his time on a paper log. That's a thing of the past now, if I understand
that,
right.
Well, we are developing, the FMCSA is putting in place electronic logging devices, and that's going to mean that these hours of service are even more important, because it's going to be much harder to cheat on your logbooks and doctor the books. Still not impossible, but it's much harder to cheat. So drivers are going to have to be making up for it somewhere, and they're going to be driving more and wanting to drive more. And so it is a protection for the drivers. I want to underscore what Todd said. This isn't just drivers saying, oh, you know what, I don't feel tired, I could keep
yeah.
on driving. This is a protection from the companies pushing drivers beyond human limits.
We're going to have to wrap up our conversation there and leave it there. I want to thank that Dr. Damian Stevens with the University of Kansas Hospital, Jeff Burns, an attorney at Dollar Burns and Becker Trial Attorneys, and Todd Spencer. He's with the Owner-Operator Independent Drivers Association. Gentlemen, thank you all for a very lively conversation. I sure appreciate it.